This morning I wanted to talk to you guys about God. Imagine that, in church, talking about God. Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you guys about God in a way that we don't very often, in that I wanted to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Can we do that? Yeah? Cool. Good, because I made notes and everything, so. the Spirit can be pretty mysterious at times. And a lot of times I think we don't talk about him a whole lot, in church or out of church. And I think that's a little bit sad. And I think we underestimate the Spirit a lot or grow forgetful of him. When people do talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it's talking about speaking in tongues, being slain in the Spirit, some mysterious kind of things that we don't always necessarily understand. And a lot of times, other times, it's these stories of things that happen that are the unexpected, right? I have a story myself that I will share with you about the Spirit doing things that are unexpected. At a youth rally not too long ago called Winter Whitewash in January, we had the main speaker. To give you a little background of this story, Winter Whitewash is this huge youth rally where youth groups from all over the surrounding states get together, and we have an awesome band and a great speaker. And each time the speaker is up on the stage and he gives kind of a sermon, we break into our individual youth group times and we talk about what we just heard. We were heading back from one such discussion when one of our students kind of pulled me aside and she asked me to pray for her. And of course, I love it when my students ask me to pray for them. I pray for them anyways, but I love it when they actually ask me to pray for them. Just that vulnerability and openness with me is amazing. Of course, I'm like, what do you think I am, a pastor? So so I said, yeah, of course, I'll pray for you. What's going on? And she started talking to me about how her family, she didn't really talk about anything specific, but she started talking to me about how there's some just rough stuff going on in her family and that her home is a turbulent place and that she doesn't feel comfortable there. She's not happy there. And to just pray for peace for her family. And I asked her a question that to this day, well, I asked her a question that, one, I would never ask any girl or member of the female species, is not a good word, gender, ever. And two, I don't know where in the world this question came from, because before I even knew what I was saying, the words were out of my mouth. I looked at her in the eye and I said, "How are you eating?" What? I don't know why I asked that. But she couldn't even hardly look me in the eye after that. She just broke down, started crying. Tears, just like waterworks everywhere. It's crazy. And of course, I'm freaking out, like, oh, geez, I've made a girl cry. That's not good. But it was a good type of crying in a way. It was kind of healing tears. She confessed to me there that she hadn't been eating for a long time. That she was wondering how to tell someone about it and that she felt trapped in this cycle. And that she hated herself for it. And through this conversation, she found healing. And she found through this confession that she got it off her chest, and after that, she knew how to deal with it. And she just felt 100 times better. So I know what made me ask that question, or rather, I know who made me ask that question. That question didn't come from me. That question came from someone who lives inside of me and someone who lives inside of all of us. And that's who I want to talk to you about. A.W. Tozer, a famous preacher from the 60s, said once that Christians have made a great blunder in neglecting the divinity and the deity of the Holy Spirit, and that we have failed to honor his lordship. And I think that still applies, and that's from the 60s. It's not that we purposefully deny the Holy Spirit, but I think a lot of time we grow forgetful of him. We don't generally go day to day saying, hey, I wonder what the Spirit is up to today. We don't go about our daily lives and our work wondering what he's doing, what he's thinking about him a lot. Or at least I know I don't. I'm sure some of you are better at that than I am. The thing is, we have this idea of the Trinity, of one God in three persons, and I think that's a mysterious, beautiful thing, but it's also hard to wrap our heads around because we don't really exist that way, or we don't go through life that way. We have this idea of God as a father, and maybe we can understand that. God the Father, God the Creator, like, yeah, he started everything, he made everything. I have a father, so I have some idea of what a father is like. Even if you didn't have a good father, I think we all can kind of see and know what a father is supposed to be like. We can understand a father. And then we have Jesus, the Son, and we can understand a son. I am a son. I have a son. Jesus is God made relatable. He's God made flesh. We can understand Jesus even more than we can understand and relate to God the Father. And then we get to the Spirit, and it's this thing we can't see that moves around and does stuff that we don't necessarily understand. And the Spirit's a lot trickier, isn't he? He's a lot of mystery. The idea of a Spirit suggests that there is a reality just beyond what we can see and touch and know. And that's A, kind of scary. And B, that means a lot of mystery. We don't always like mystery. To be honest, I think if God wasn't sometimes mysterious, I'm not sure we would follow him. Because if God did not have mystery around his being, how could we be in wonder and awe of him? The truth is, there is a deeper reality at work in this world right here, right now, that we can't see and that we can't touch. The Spirit is very real and shouldn't be taken for granted or ignored. So let's talk about him some more. Who is he, and what does he have to do with us, with me, and with you? We can see that deeper reality in a lot of the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, when we see the disciples going out and doing crazy stuff, like healing sick people and casting out demons and these miraculous signs bringing, I don't know if the disciples brought people back from the dead, but Jesus did through the Holy Spirit. That was the Spirit's work as well. So there is this powerful, deeper reality that we don't get. When Jesus had just been raised from the dead, he's getting ready to go back into heaven. He tells us a little bit about his Spirit. In the book of John, he says, I will ask my Father, and he will send you another helper who will be with you forever. And this word helper, or the word Spirit, I, like my friend Matt Coulter, am kind of fond of looking up Greek and Hebrew words. to find out their roots and their meanings. And the Hebrew word for spirit was ruah, which was synonymous with words like breath or wind. And it's this really beautiful picture of something you can't see, but you can feel it moving around you, and it's making stuff happen around you. If we can think of God as a father, and we have an idea of that, and we can think of Jesus as God the Son, or we called him Emmanuel, which meant God with us, maybe the best way to describe the Spirit would be to call him God in motion, or even God in us. I think I even have, yeah, God in motion, like a cool graphic that Tanya found. the Spirit is God moving, acting, and living within all of us. In John, the same passage, Jesus goes on to say that he is the Spirit of truth, which the world can't receive, but you will know him because he will abide with you and he will be in you. So he's obviously talking about a person with a will to do things and a mind of his own, a remarkable person who can do things that we don't necessarily understand, like the miracles that we saw the disciples doing, and something like living within me. When I think of something living within me, I usually want to go to the doctor and have him, hey, look in there, something's wrong. There's something inside. You know, that's not a normal thing we think about. This is a remarkable person who has been described throughout the years by many different theologians and people with words like counselor, helper, advocate, friend, companion. This person is attributed a lot of the times with thoughts of encouragement and support, instruction and assistance. Jesus promises another helper in the sense that Jesus was the first helper, and he is now sending someone who will continue Jesus' ministry in our lives, his ministry of love, care, and instruction. Jesus is still God, right? So he's still Emmanuel. He is still God with us. Jesus is still here. But in his wisdom, he sent us another helper, which, to tell you the truth, is pretty comforting for me, because I don't know about you guys, but there are days when I need all the help I can get, right? Am I alone in that? I see some nodding heads, so I know I'm not. So how does this helper help us? How does this helper interact with us? It's important to remember that the Holy Spirit is God. He is not limited in what he can do like we are. He is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. We can't see him, but he is always moving in and around us. To paraphrase something my dad said, the Spirit works in us and on us, and then he works through us. The Bible also has a lot to say about what the Spirit does. In a couple places in the book of John, it says, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I, Jesus, have said to you. And he will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit helps us understand God's word, right? I'm going to go through this a little quickly, so try and bear with me. In Ephesians, it said that the Spirit is our seal or our promise that God has saved us and that he's redeemed us. And it says, in him also, when you heard the gospel and believed in him, Jesus, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. Scripture says that living in the Spirit, or that the Spirit living inside of you, will produce outward behavior that other people can see. In Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In Romans, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. There's a lot of things that the Spirit does, and that's a really nice list. And again, I want to reiterate, the Spirit is God, so don't limit him to that little list. He can do a lot. You may remember last time I taught on Hebrews 10. It was a while ago now. But I said that God's purpose on earth is to restore creation to himself, to bring us back to our original state of good that we had before we chose independence, and to bring us back into relationship with him. And all throughout the scripture, you can see God working to this goal. Throughout the Old Testament, you see him leading the Israelites out of slavery, giving them prophets and leaders who teach them about God, giving them the commandments to show them what God values and his heart, leading them closer and closer to the promised land, yes, but more importantly, leading them back into a relationship with him. Everything God has done has been for the single purpose of relationship, of us being in a face-to-face relationship with him. That's why he created us in the first place. God, the Son, Jesus, even chose to become flesh and blood like us and live on earth as a human being in order to relate to us more and to bridge the gap that our quest for independence had created. So we know the Spirit is God. I think we've covered that. Living and moving in us, working to bring us deeper into relationship with God. That's his goal. That's why he does what he does. And helping us to bring other people two steps closer, as we like to say here, to God as well. So one of the ways the Spirit helps us with this work, probably the most powerful way the Spirit helps us with this work, is by giving us spiritual gifts and empowering us with them, both as a church and as individuals. Paul writes a list in 1 Corinthians, and I just got ordained as an official pastor, and I just did my first pastor failure in not bringing a Bible on the stage with me. I can't believe I did that. Oh, man. In 1 Corinthians, oh, look at you go. Thank you, Joel. You're the man. Jeez. Thank you for bearing with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4, for those of you who want to follow along and did bring your Bibles, the Apostle Paul writes, "There is a diversity of gifts, all from the same Spirit. And there is a difference of ministry, but one God, one Lord. The manifestation of the Spirit is given each to one for the profit of everybody. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the gift of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing. To others there is the working of miracles, and to others the gift of prophecy. To others still there are speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to others still there is the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he sees fit." So you see, the Spirit gives us each individually a gift from the Spirit. And he does this for each and every one of us differently, but equally, so that we as a body can all work together with the different parts and the different gifts all working in concert. Right? That makes sense? Following me? So, another story time about how I discovered my gift. I was going to say, if you don't know what your spiritual gift, if you don't know what gift the Spirit has given you, ask him. Pray and ask him, and he will show you. But I warn you, it may not be what you expect. And this, I will tell you about my gift that he has given me. A couple years ago, like Adam talked a little bit about this, a couple years ago, I was kind of co-leading the youth group with Caleb Hebert. And to tell you the truth, I let him do most of the leading. I felt kind of weird, honestly, kind of awkward being in a leadership position with a bunch of high school kids that I didn't really know very well at the time, and blame my somewhat immaturity, but it became clear pretty quickly that I connected with them, despite that awkwardness. Caleb's job changed, and he wasn't really able to come lead the youth group anymore, and so it kind of was into my lap. And I didn't really know what I was doing a whole lot. And again, like I said, blame somewhat my immature nature or say that I have a childish way of thinking. But it became very clear very quickly that I have a knack with connecting with students. That's my gift that the Spirit has given me. I understand them. I like a lot of the same things they like Mountain Dew and video games. But I seem to just speak their language. Honestly, sometimes I feel more comfortable hanging out with my youth group than I do with people my own age, because I connect better. As the year or so went on, and I've gotten to know my students here a lot better, and we've made some pretty awesome memories together, just sharing life together and sharing Jesus with another, and I've been teaching them the Bible and about God and answering their questions about life, I could feel God almost every week pulling at my heart as if he was saying, "Yes, this is where I want you, Brian. This is where you belong." The Spirit moved through me and around me into that group, and he's moved in that group. And he showed me that my spiritual gift lies in introducing students to Jesus, helping them see their identity in Christ, and helping them to recognize and develop their own spiritual gifts as well. God has given me a passion for reaching out to his younger followers. And this passion has led me to some pretty extraordinary places with some pretty extraordinary kids and people. I love spending time with them, hearing their stories and getting to share a little piece of their lives. And when I'm hanging out with them, I know I can feel in my heart that God is hanging out with us too. When I'm hanging out with a room full of rowdy teenagers that are not asleep at 4 a.m. and screaming and yelling and running and driving me nuts, somehow through all that chaos, I feel God's presence. And I don't know why that does it for me, but I said all this to say, to quote my friend Adam, who's given me the thumbs up, there is a beautiful, mysterious God who created you with a purpose, and he is drawing you closer to himself. His son is beside you, able and ready to relate to your struggles, having already overcome them for you and already paid the price for your freedom from those struggles. And his spirit is all around you and within you, guiding, teaching, and empowering you with beautiful gifts so that you can discover and accomplish the good work that God has set out for you to do. Here at Whitewater, we have a saying that life is an adventure. I think that's originally why we chose to call this church Whitewater Christian Church, was the idea of you're on the rapids, the water gets crazy, it's an adventure, you don't know what's going to happen, it takes unexpected corners, life is an adventure. Like the guys said, we have been called to Webster City, Iowa, which is a tiny little town in Iowa where I'm going to go take over the youth ministry and be a pastor to them. And that's our new adventure. And as I watch the Spirit move in and around my life, leading us on this new adventure, I thank God for what he's doing. And it's awesome to see him move. And I know that he will do the same thing in your lives. He probably won't call you to Webster City, Iowa. Maybe some of you will. I don't know. But he has a plan for you. And as I watch the Spirit work in our lives, I pray that each one of you will seek God, rest in the assurance that Jesus loves you and that his Spirit is in you. Seek God with all your heart, and his Son will show you the way, and his Spirit will empower you to take every step. That's a pretty short sermon. That's all I got. The Spirit is a really big subject. There's a lot to cover, and I went through it kind of quickly. If you have more specific questions, please come to me. Come to any of the guys that were up here with me, the leadership here. Grace and peace.